south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. There's a reason in the last couple of shows I talked quite a bit about shipping and shipping companies, sending containers, aduanas, duties, and taxes, etc. Because, you know, a lot of gringos and expats and wannabes are interested in creating an export business out of local artisan items or food exports. But the question always is, what items would be feasible? What would work? What would be cost-effective? And, of course, who would be your market? Now, that could be actually selling locally made or produced stuff from your own website or Amazon or shipping to a wholesaler or retailer up in the States that'll market the stuff for you. But first, of course, you have to come down, get your boots on the ground, and find a product or two, or maybe even develop a new product yourself from an existing one down here, or modify some of the local items that local artisans and craftsmen are making. In fact, that's what many successful gringos end up doing. For example, they take a product like coffee, honey, or chocolate, repackage it, give it the gringo spin, and sell it as a boutique product on the internet. And some even hook up with Walmart or a big retail outfit up in the States. In any event, if it's a physical product, you'll have to ship it, right? Unless your market is completely local. But that's usually not the case. Which is why I want to talk a little bit today about products that you'll find down here in Latin America, and you'll think to yourself, man, I could sell a million of those up in the States. Of course, the price will have to be right, including packaging and shipping costs, etc. And you'll have to be able to get sufficient quantities made to your liking, specifications, and attention to detail. For example, Latin America is on mañana time, and unlike the first world, down here in Latin America, when someone says an item's going to be shipped tomorrow, that's often not the case. Whereas up in the first world, if you get a shipping date, you expect it to be shipped on or before that date, or you get pissed off. You might even change suppliers. That said, those of you who are watching this on YouTube now are going to get a treat. Why? Because just recently, I made some trekking through Mayan indigenous country, visiting some small indigenous communities in El Salvador and Guatemala. Now note that throughout indigenous parts of Latin America, you'll find little communities that specialize in making a certain kind of product. And so they become very, very good at things like wood carving, leather working, pottery, jewelry making, textiles, belts, purses, footwear, carvings, ceramics, handicrafts, furniture making, glass and wrought iron work, not to mention everything and anything made out of that fantastic rainforest hardwood. And note, during the few months preceding Christmas, you really find some tremendous stuff. Which is why if you've got boots on the ground off the gringo tourist trail, you can't help but run across items that make you think in that moment, man, if I only had 1,000 of these things, they'd sell like hotcakes on the internet. For example, if you're watching this on YouTube right now, you'll see 3 different ladies' purses I ran across and bought. And these are just 3 styles out of hundreds. As you'll see, they're very nicely handcrafted. Beautiful colors, trimmed in real leather, hand-stitched from hand-woven, hand-dyed textiles. Now, I purchased these at a tiny kiosk in a small indigenous town. I haggled a bit, and I got one for $5, one for $7, and one for $9. Now, I invite you to look at these on YouTube and tell me how much they'd cost up in the States. Remember, I got all 3 of them for $21. Now, gringo ladies who've seen these things say they would go all day long for $50, $100, even $150 in the States. Why? Because they're completely custom-made, have leather trim, and the fabric parts are hand-woven and hand-dyed. And remember, if you order in a quantity, 10, 20, 50, 100, you'll get them for half of what I paid. So see for yourself, have a look on YouTube right now. Anyway, I dumped $21 and bought them because I want to pass them around at my January 2017 Expat Insider Seminar. I want everybody to see them, feel them, and know there are great opportunities here for exporting things like that. I want people to see and feel the quality of these items. So the question is, how do you sell them? How do you get them up on your website? How do you get them on Amazon or some accessory outfit up in the States that has retail stores and malls or whatever? Well, that would be on you and your investigation, of course, but I'd like you to remember one thing. All Latin countries export many things, mostly basic products, including, of course, huge quantities of agricultural items like bananas, coffee, sugar, even roses, orchids, and tropical flowers, which, by the way, in some Latin countries, makes up their second, third, or fourth largest export group. And don't forget, they export huge quantities of mining items and lumber, as well as clothing and textiles and some assembled products, too. So as it turns out, and it's greatly in your favor, every Latin country has an export group or society that have regular meetings comparable to a businessman's social organization like the Rotary Club. And these organizations over the years have developed a kind of a relationship with their local Latin governments to make it easy or somewhat easy and predictable to import and export various types of products. So every producer has access to and can operate under the same ground rules. For example, in Guatemala, their export group is called AGEXPORT, which stands for the Association of Guatemalan Exporters. Simple, huh? And there is an organization like that in every Latin country. AGEXPORT is spelled A-G-E-X-P-O-R-T. And I'm mentioning this because if you get into exportation in a big way, suppose you buy a coffee plantation or start growing avocados, then you'll want to join this group and find out exactly how they import and export things, because they've got it down pat, and they have for years. In fact, let me read you part of their mission statement in English. I'll translate here. It says, "The Guatemalan Exporters Association is a private nonprofit entity established in 1982 that represents, promotes, and develops non-traditional exports of companies in Guatemala, providing a high level of assistance and service to exporters, serving the Guatemalan business community at large with their international trade activities, whether within the country or abroad. We at AGEXPORT are an interactive, dynamic trade group that participates and competes in all world markets and assisting those companies who are preparing to export." You got that? Companies preparing to export. And that would be you, expats and gringos, if you find that one particular product or products that you believe will be a good business. In fact, in the case of Guatemala, exports are such a big part of their economy. There are so many companies that have joined and have paid dues to AGEXPORT that they now have a large operations office and over 200 permanent employees, all designed to help and handhold companies through the process of exportation. And not only that, they have their own business import-export school on the premises, where they have ongoing classes and seminars that are very inexpensive. And they even have classes for companies that are not exporting yet but are coming online. Like, for example, if you've got a teak or avocado farm and the crop won't be in for some years down the line. Now, of course, a lot of gringos and expats that come down to Latin America have developed or created some specialty items to export, and they don't need a big outfit like AGEXPORT to help them, because perhaps they're only selling a few items a month. For example, there's a gringo that buys and repackages natural herbal and medicinal products and sells them on his website and through Amazon. He doesn't belong to AGEXPORT and never took any of their classes. In fact, he speaks Spanish terribly. Nevertheless, all on his own, he figured a way to ship things out of the country and make a nice profit. And here's a guy who came down a few years ago as a backpacker, and now he's working 2 days a week and living the life of Riley. So anyway, like I mentioned, every Latin country has an import-export business membership group. In fact, like I said, some of these groups actually give courses and have legitimate schools. For example, the one in Guatemala, AGEXPORT, has what they call Escuela de Comercio Exterior. That means Commercial Business Export School. And of course, being that Latin Americans are just nuts about degrees and especially diplomas, but they have to be nice, suitable for framing diplomas, you know. Anyway, right now I'm looking at AGEXPORT's webpage and the courses that they're offering in the upcoming month. Again, in Spanish, of course, so it will help if you learn some. But remember, because you're a gringo, you have that huge gringo advantage going for you either way. And if you've done any sort of business dealings up in the States or had a business of your own, you've already got a giant head start and probably know quite a bit of what they could teach you in most of the general business courses they offer, except for the actual ins and outs of the export-importation process within your individual Latin country, which, of course, will vary a bit because they have different tax structures and rates and IVA and aduana fees. So, for example, on the schedule of courses, they teach things you get in regular business school up in the States, like, and I'll translate here, negotiating sales and persuasion. Sounds like Dale Carnegie stuff, huh? And then there's this one called How to Read, Make, and Understand International Contracts. Now, that one could be pretty valuable to a gringo. And here's one called, get this, The mechanisms for an exporter to recuperate his bad credit. I like that one. Hey, how about this for an idea? Then you won't have to take that course. How about pay off all your old debts and bills? Then there's one called Developing and Evaluating Export and Import Feasibility Studies and Projects. And then there's one called, and it's one's probably well worth it, and it's called Custom Brokers and Customs Delays. How to get your products through customs in a timely and efficient manner. And how about this course? It's called How to Bribe Customs Officials and Their Families. Just kidding. You think? Now, the courses that I mentioned start in the evenings at 6 and last 3 hours. That's the usual setup. Since I'm on a roll, let me mention a few more courses here. This one's called The New International Rules and Regulations Pertaining to the Agro-Environmental Sector. And here's one that's probably worthwhile. It's called Long and Short-Term Storage and Packing Logistics. And here's one called Standard Container Inventory Practices. So anyway, that should give you an idea of the courses you could take if you knew some Spanish. Though what it really boils down to is, if you import or export with your business, you're in no way out on a limb reinventing the wheel. By the way, if you want to check out that AgExport Import Export Association website to see just how extensive it really is, and it's very complete, it's export.com.gt. And if you look near the top center of the page, you'll see there's a link called Escuela de Comercio. That's all the courses and stuff they offer to all their members. And if you want to know what those courses cost, well, some of them are free and some cost 10 or even 20 bucks. Again, classes and handouts are in Spanish. I know, you're thinking Google Translate, right? Well, unfortunately for scientific and business stuff, Google Translate kind of sucks. But hey, you got to start somewhere, right? But again, remember, as a gringo, you're way ahead of the game if you're going to market anything on the internet, your own website, eBay, or Amazon. That said, what about finding unique products to sell and export? I mean, that is the key, right? The crucial part, finding something you can sell. Well, let me tell you, the way to make that happen is to get some boots on the ground, and that's off the gringo tourist trail. Because, you see, you're unlikely to find any unique saleable items in gringoized areas because they've been well picked over already. So that means forget Panama, Costa Rica, most of Mexico, and practically any place within 5 or 10 miles of where a cruise ship stops. Which is why, by the way, if you come down to one of my Expat Insider seminars where we spend probably 80% of our time off the tourist trail, nearly everyone who comes down for that week walks away with a number of good business ideas. For example, if you've never been to Latin America and you're thinking, all I have to do is keep my eyes open for some interesting trinkets or souvenirs, ceramics, jewelry, carvings, whatever, and you'll be off to a running start, well, that's certainly true, but how are you going to find what you might think is the perfect item or items to export in the first place? Well, I'll tell you how, and I'll give you the Guatemala example because that's where we're doing the seminar. Now, pay attention. In Guatemala City, a place that's way off the gringo tourist trail, you can walk around all day in that city of 2 million and never see another gringo unless you're smack dab in the commercial slash hotel district called Zone 10, then you might see some embassy people or some do-gooders. And of course, if you're at the airport, you're in do-gooder central. That said, right smack dab in the oldest part of the city, called Zone 1, where the Central Park is and the cathedral and the government buildings, there's a place called the Central Market, a place even gringos who visit the country don't know about. Though they call it a Central Market, it's not a wild and crazy food market like the ones I talk about all the time. Though they have one complete floor that has nothing but food and produce. I said one complete floor of food and produce, right? This Central Market is one square city block. However, it's all underground and goes 3 stories down. So there's 2 whole floors, a city block each, of handcrafted local products. We're talking about leather goods, jewelry, hardwood, textiles, pottery and ceramics, you name it. Everything and anything in handcrafted products. Thousands and thousands of items. Some of them certainly tacky and laughable, but others absolutely beautiful, wonderfully fabricated, and totally different than anything you've ever seen, and at prices that are simply unbelievable. And it's a guarantee that if you walk through this place, and it'll take you a couple hours, if you can't find a dozen items that you couldn't send back to the States and make some money with, then you just don't have a creative bone in your body. But you know what? You'll never, ever get a chance to see places like that unless you get boots on the ground and come to a Latin country that's off the gringo tourist trail. By the way, I always recommend that place to gringos coming down to Guatemala, specifically, who are looking for ideas and things to export. And as it turns out, every big Latin American city has a similar market. Again, it's all about the right kind of boots on the ground. By the way, if you know no Spanish, that's not an insurmountable problem. In past shows, I mentioned many times there are fully bilingual expat concierge ladies. They've got cars, and they'll take you to see these places, answer your questions, and even do some negotiating for you. By the way, I highly recommend you buy some of the stuff that catches your eye. Take it home with you back to the States and shop it around. Show it to people. Bring some samples back. See what kind of interest and comments you can drum up. In fact, there are lots of handcrafted items down here that just need a little modification to make them 1,000 times more appealing to gringos up in the States. So again, hiring a bilingual expat concierge lady for whatever your needs are often really is the best way to go, whether it's to find a product you might want to sell up in the States, or maybe you have on your expat wish list, buying a car or motorcycle, finding a good contractor, architect, cleaning lady, maintenance guy, finding good first world doctors, hospitals, banks, internet service, whatever. You hire one of these ladies and they do all the legwork for you. For example, what if you find a product you're absolutely in love with, you know it'll sell on Amazon, but your Spanish sucks and you can't get your points across to the person or person who's selling or fabricating the things? You know, lost in translation communication breakdown. Happens all the time if your Spanish sucks. And if you're interested in looking for products like that where there are no expat concierge ladies, no such service exists, well, as mentioned in a show a long time ago, all you have to do is go down to one of the local Latin universities, go to the English department, put up your wants and needs and your telephone number on the bulletin board, in English, of course, and by evening, your phone will probably be ringing off the hook. Because first of all, not only will everyone in the English department want to practice with you, a real-life gringo, they'll be thinking in the back of their minds that there possibly could be a job in it for them in the future. They're thinking, if they make a good impression and they do a good job, they'll be the first person you call when you do your startup. Now remember, off the Gringo Tourist Trail, all universities have English departments. Everyone wants to learn their English, right? However, most students in those programs have never really spoken to a real live gringo in their lives. Unless, of course, they're in an expensive helicopter school, then they will have some real first world gringo and gringa teachers. But it's only the 2 or 3%. The entitled kids of the wealthy that can afford to go to those schools. That as opposed to all the crummy, chaotic public universities with the broken windows and lights and bathrooms with no water. Many of those disgusting universities have 50 to 100,000 students attending, whereas an expensive helicopter university, expensive in Latin terms that is, will have at maximum maybe 1,000 students. So as it turns out, about 1 in 50 university students attends a helicopter school. And the rest, well, they go to that crappy, chaotic, socialist, indoctrinating public university. Sound familiar? So which do I recommend if you're looking for a bilingual student to take you around on whatever mission you might have? Well, if you need someone with their own car, you should post a note in English at a private helicopter university. Their parents all have dough, so their entitled kids all have cars, just like up in the States. Whereas a public university student who probably takes the chicken bus to school won't have a car. Nevertheless, their meager situation often makes them much more hungry and eager to go the extra mile for you. Now, again, it's not to say you can't do these things on your own, but you'll find it almost impossible while on the Gringo Tourist Trail, where most people speak English, to find any kind of new and interesting handicraft product that hasn't been picked over, exploited, and marketed by gringos. And here's another thing I can't repeat enough. When you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail, you find opportunities and ideas popping into your head all the time. In fact, many gringos have told me they've taken a traditional product made by one of these indigenous groups, wood carving, leather goods, ceramic, whatever, and just with a few tweaks and some creativity, with an eye toward what might ramp up a first world gringo's desire for the product, suddenly or not so suddenly, they've created a nice little business for themselves. But tweaking existing handcrafted products down here is not often necessary. First off, you'll find plenty of unique and cool products here that you just wouldn't want to change at all. And of course, you'll be amazed how inexpensive these things are. But again, you have to buy from the source and not through middlemen. All right, That said, since we're on the subject of doing business with imports and exports, let me read a little email to you. Now remember, last week I was talking about bicycles here in Latin America and how most kids down here being poor don't often have the chance to have their own bicycles. And the ones they do have are patched and duct tape and chicken wire together until, well, they just absolutely fall apart. And I also mentioned that every Latin country has its own bike manufacturing facilities, which is why you get a cheap, decent, durable bike for under $100 easy. And in response to that show, I got a few emails. And here's the best of the bunch. It comes from Don Goyo, a pseudonym, of course. He says, "Dear Johnny," and I'll paraphrase a bit. He says, "Johnny, after your show about bikes, I saw this," ironically. Then he attached a few photos that he got from Craigslist. He says, "You can buy, right on Craigslist, an entire container of bicycles used and refurbished for only $20 a piece, but you have to buy the whole container to get that unit price. Could be a great Plan B business idea for your next seminar group," he says. By the way, if you're watching the show on YouTube today, you'll see those photos of containers stacked with bikes. And then he says in his email, "I would be interested in any income-producing idea along those lines, doing it possibly with someone else, and happily make a visit to the warehouse that has these bikes, if the numbers, the relationship, and the strategies make sense. Obviously, these bike units can only be purchased so low and wholesale or retailed so high, depending on the logistics costs and the usual risks. I'm curious to know if a project like this will fly. Who knows, maybe a few containers a year full of bikes can pay for some nice trips to finish off my Spanish skills." Then he says it's nice to know there's a place called Eagle Liquidators that will repair their bikes and do regular on-site inspections and selections, which is an added value to the project. And I would assume that Eagle Liquidators, who supply these containers, can also supply a package of spare parts with the deal. By the way, he says, "I did a quick Alibaba search to see what else is out there in the way of bikes inside containers, and I grabbed these two examples for a semi-filtered comparison." Then he sends me two more links from Alibaba. I checked them out, and some of these containers come directly from Japan at $20 to $25 a bike. Anyway, Don Goyo finishes his email by saying, "At the very least, the charitable crowd can offer a really big Santa sleigh of kids' bikes for the price of a used car." Meaning, of course, a container full, which would be really great if the numbers work. "Yes," he said, "the poor kids will be really happy until they start crashing into stuff, falling into holes, breaking arms and teeth, etc. Which is why you certainly couldn't do such a good deed up in the States, because liability, lawsuits, and no deed going unpunished and all that. Whereas, like you say, Johnny, down there in Latin America, there's no one to sue." Well, thanks for that, Don Goyo, and looks like your heart's in the right place. Want to give kids down here some very inexpensive transportation that they never could get otherwise. That said, let's quickly do some numbers and see if this bike container proposition will fly. Now, by the photos you sent, I can see they're packed into the container in three rows. Assuming each bike is around 5 foot long, that would mean in a 20-foot container, a half container, they'd be four deep. Or around 240 bikes per half container. Meaning your normal 40-foot container would have 8 deep or 480 bikes in it. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see the photos. So let's assume we're shipping a 40-foot container because it's much more economical than shipping a 20-footer. So at 480 bikes in a container at $20 a bike, that's $9,600 you'll pay just for the bikes. And the shipping container from the U.S. to pretty much anywhere in Central America is going to be around $1,500, which brings our total cost to around $11,100. Now, when they land at their Latin country destination, they'll end up in customs, the aduana, and pay anywhere from 5 to 20% import tax. Let's use 10% and make it easy. Now we're up to around $12,000. Then they'll have to be shipped from the port, unpacked, cleaned up a bit, dusted down, retouched, tested, oiled, etc. Now, with such cheap labor down here, we can add maybe $500 for that. Now, let's add rental of storage space and some miscellaneous unintended expenses. Let's say another $500. That's a grand total of $13,000. And let's divide that by the number of bikes, 480. So to get those bikes to our final destination, will cost us around $27 each. All right, like I mentioned, you could get a brand new bike down here for under $100. Most parents can't afford that. So then what could parents possibly afford? I'd say maybe $35 for a bike. And at a cost of bringing them in at $27, that doesn't give you much margin or wiggle room to make any kind of substantial profit anyway. So yes, the numbers seem to work, but remember, you'll have to have someone out there selling those bikes and spending the time just babysitting them as potential clients dribble in and test them. Not to mention, you just might have to register that company on the books and end up paying 10, 12, 15, even 20% EVA. That's VAT tax on each one of those bikes. If you're going to follow the letter of the law anyway, which most people don't. If so, that'll add $5 to $10 to the price of your bike, just for the government share. So in the end, it's looking more and more like a losing proposition, unless you truly are a benevolent gringo and want to ship those things in and not make a dime's profit, which I don't think Don Goyo had in mind at all. Though I could be wrong, since he entitled his email, "A Container Full of Cheap Bikes, a Do-Gooder's Wet Dream." So yes, that's just more proof that you'd need boots on the ground down here before you think of starting a business. For example, in this case, you could start by going on sites like OLX.com and see what people are getting for used bikes. Then with boots on the ground, you check out some hole-in-the-wall bike repair shops where they're always selling some used stuff. Again, it's all about getting your boots on the ground here and checking things out. And why that expat concierge service is so valuable. You start by doing a Skype with them, show them pictures of exactly what you're talking about, have them do some scouting for you, get some answers. That way, many, if not most of your questions can get answered ahead of time. Okay, that said, we're getting towards the end of the show now, and I've got an important announcement to make. This show is going out on Friday, October 28th. That just gives you a couple days to sign up for my January 2017 Expat Insider Seminar and still take advantage of the early bird discount, which is $500 per person. On November 1st, we're back to the regular price. I've got a few spots left. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link at the top of the page to sign up and get in on the early bird discount. Time's a-wasting. Check it out. And of course, if you're coming down, do try to get an extra 3 or 4 days to take one of those famous John Galt pre or post seminar trips. While down here, do try to take advantage of all the boots on the ground opportunities you can. And you know, those John Galt trips are just the thing. And finally, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. That's YouTube/TheExpatFiles, all one word. And the advantage of that, of course, is to see exactly what I'm talking about in pictures and slides. By the way, don't forget to subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
This is The Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.